Let's begin our study of the Leil HaSeder with the following question. One name that's obliquely missing from the Seder is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu plays so much of a central role in Yetzias Mitzrayim. He's the goal on Shal Yisrael, and yet he doesn't appear in the Seder. So the answer appears to be based on a famous Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is famous for saying that Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk Ani Hashem with regard to Gulas Mitzrayim, that Pasuk teaches me, according to the Drashas Chazal, Ani Velo Shliach, Anihu Velo Acher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He Himself personally is the Goalam Shal Yisrael with regard to Geulas Mitzrayim. And therefore, we deliberately omit any mention of Moshe Rabbeinu. You'll see this in the Medrash in Tehillim. The Medrash in Tehillim says that this Halach of Ani Hashem is not only true with regard to Geulas Mitzrayim, but it's true with regard to all Geula. Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Upduye Hashem Yeshuvun. And the Medrash says, Hashem velo Pduye Eliyahu velo Pduye Melech HaMashiach. There are many individuals who play a role in bringing about the Geula, but ultimately we have to declare that it's Hashem and only Hashem who's poda us and brings about the Geula. So this is not only true with regard to Geulas Mitzrayim, it's true with regard to every Geula. In fact, if you look at the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, on the Pasuk Al Mishkavi Balelos, it says, Zeh Laila Shel Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk continues and says, Bikashtiv Es Shava Nafshi Zeh Moshe Bikashtiv Velo Mitzasiv. And the Mefarshim say that this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was not part of the Golos in Mitzrayim. He was protected in Paro's palace. But you could interpret it based on the Gaon that Bikashtiv refers to Laila Shel Mitzrayim, not the entire Golos of Mitzrayim. But that specific night of the Geula, the 15th of Nisan, we look for Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't appear. He's not in the Haggadah. He's not part and parcel of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim because of the Halacha of Ani Hashem. However, let's look at the Rambam. Surprisingly enough, the Rambam does mention Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Mitzvah lo'odia labonim, we're obligated to teach our sons. And not only that, even if they don't ask any questions, we have to open up with the answers. We have to teach them lefi daito shel ben, according to the intelligence level of the son. And what should we respond, says the Rambam, to a ben gadol v'chacham? Modia masha'ir alonu b'mitzrayim v'nisim shenas alonu al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam has Moshe Rabbeinu as an integral part of this mitzvah of Leil Tesvav, something that we don't find in our Haggadahs. And I heard once from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, that if the Rambam wants to incorporate Moshe Rabbeinu, give him mention in the Haggadah, why dafka in the response to the Ben HaChacham? And he suggests the following. The Pasuk says in Shmos, V'igadato l'bincha b'yom ahu lemar, b'avur zeh osa Hashem li b'tzeisi Mitzrayim. Rashi says, what is b'avur zeh? The Pasuk is coming to answer to the following question. What's the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim? And Rashi says, b'avur shakayim mitzvosav. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the introduction, it's the first step. But the ultimate goal is L'kayim Mitzvosov. The movement here is not just a liberation movement. You have people who are subjugated, they're enslaved, let my people go. That itself would be a political liberation movement. But Rashi's telling us, based on the Pasuk Bavur Zeh, that there's a goal here that's spiritual in nature. that goes beyond political freedom, and that is to establish a nation that's dedicated to fulfill Hashem's mitzvot. And if that be the case, then we have to connect Yetzias Mitzrayim with which great event that's going to take place 7 weeks later? Matan Torah, correct. Kabbal Satorah. We receive the mitzvahs. And with regard to Kabbalah Satorah, the one who plays the key role, he's going to bring about all that spectacular, miraculous event of Kabbalah Satorah, is none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Take a look at the Medrash in Shir HaShirim that appears as the fourth source on your page. On the Pasuk Kim'at Sha'avarti Bihem Ad Shematzasi Es Sha'avo Nafshi, I almost dropped it until I found my beloved, says the Medrash Zem Moshe. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Achastivel Arpenu Ad Sheveisivel Beisi Mizeh Sinai Vel Cheder Horasi Zeh Ol Moed. At Sinai we received part of the Torah. The rest of the Torah was communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu where? In the Ol Moed. Bein HaKruvim. That's where we heard the Kol Hashem. So yes, we found Moshe Rabbeinu. But when do we find Moshe Rabbeinu? Bikashtivu Mitzativ Zeh Sinai at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu plays a role, a key role, with regard to Kabbalah Satorah. If the Geula Mitzrayim is Hashem Ani Hashem, Ani Velo Acher, Ani Velo Shliach, not even Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned. We look for Moshe, we don't find him. But when it comes to the connection and the ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, namely Kabbalah Satorah Bar Sinai, that's where Moshe is found. That's where he plays a key role. So the other Banim are not as sophisticated as the Chacham. And the other Banim don't engender an answer response as sophisticated as that which we respond to the Ben HaChacham. The Ben HaChacham is fascinated by the question of not just Golus Mimitzrayim and freedom from slavery. The Ben HaChacham wants to appreciate what's the goal? What is Hashem's purpose in taking our people out of Mitzrayim? And to the Ben HaChacham, we have to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to tell him, Bavur, there's a purpose to Yetzias Mitzrayim which is going to be clinched, which is going to be achieved at Har Sinai. Here Moshe is absolutely critical and he has to be mentioned.
What's the emphasis of the Rambam on Nisim Shenasu? Shenasu Lanu.
Rambam says the following. He says, "V'im hoya ben ha-gadol v'chacham modia ma she'iro lanu b'mitzrayim v'nisim shenasu lanu ha'idei Moshe Rabbeinu." Which nisim are the nisim that the Rambam wants to single out and teach his ben ha-chacham? Not the nisim of Mitzrayim, of Leil Tesvav, but the ultimate goal and the purpose, the nisim of Kabbalah Satorah.
Why the nisim? You usually connect nisim with Matan Torah. I'm saying Kabbalah Satorah is
Kabbalah Satorah has to be a miraculous event. It has to be clear, the kolos and the brachim, this is all meant to convey to Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down, coming up from the heavens to intercede in the natural course of events. And that's why the Nisim are critical. But the ultimate goal is Kabbalah Satorah.
Where else do we see
Eitan?
From
Elchanan. Elchanan. Who's Eitan? No, somebody told me his name was Eitan.
Itai.
Oh, Itai. Okay. Good, Elchanan.
Where else do we see that the things that happen in Har Sinai are related to as Nisim? Like it says in the Haggadah, 250 Nisim Alayam, you know, and back and forth.
Right, the Nisim of Har Sinai, as I mentioned before, are the Kolos Ubrokim. In other words, that kind of Pachad Pchadim, right? Like we say in Dayenu, Ilu Amadnu, what's the language there? Dayenu?
Ilu Amadnu,
not Amadnu, there's another word there. What is it, Jonathan? Do you remember? Ilu
Kervanu,
right? Ilu Kervanu. Oh, the food has come. Ilu Kervanu Lar Sinai Dayenu. The Kervanu, that very closeness that we feel, that Hashem comes down and he's Mashre Shechina on the mountain of Sinai. That itself creates a kind of powerful relationship. But the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we accept the Mitzvah Hashem. That's why Reb Chaim used to always say that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is incorporated into the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, which concludes with the words, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeisichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And then what does it say? Liot Lachem Elokim. Liot Lachem Elokim means to become your master. We leave one slavery, we're enslaved by human beings, and we're freed from that slavery only to accept upon ourselves a different kind of servitude. We become Avdei Hashem, and we dedicate ourselves to fulfill His will. But what is His will? I don't have a revelation. I can't know what Hashem wants me to do. For that I need Har Sinai. So it's not just enough to be Mafkia Avdus. We have to replace of course Avdus with what? With a different kind of Avdus. And that's why when Hashem appears to Moshe for the first time, where does Hashem appear to Moshe for the first time? At the snare? And what does He say to him? Right, Tavdun, right? Shalom Alechem. And then He says, Tavdun is Elokim Tachas Haharazeh Har Chorev. That's where you will become Avdei Hashem.
Just to note that whoever is Mekavanim, all Torah of Avim, and all Machus and all their Eretz.
Excellent. And Ezu Ben Chorin, Zeshal Sik B'Torah. In other words, you can't be a Ben Chorin. You're a slave to this and that and the other thing. If you're not a slave to the Egyptian, you know, slave masters, taskmasters, you're a slave to your desires to build up what I meant to say was to earn a living and to the society that we live in all its mores. But we become free with Kabbal Sator. That's a Ben Chorin. And when we say that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, L'cheirus Olam, Cheirus Olam means an existential change in our very being. We become Avdei Hashem. That's clinched when we reach Har Sinai. And that's why the 7-week period that attaches the holiday of Pesach to the holiday of Matan Torah is critical, because without that bridge, the whole purpose of Cheirusenu is completely lost. And that's why the Rambam wants to tell us that it's important when we explain to the Ben HaChacham what this is all about. What was the, to use a philosophical term, the teleological purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the divine being's teleology? The answer is Har Sinai. Yetzias Mitzrayim without Har Sinai is not even a half-baked experience. It's not even half of an S. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to be mentioned. Well, I want to go on to the Holach Ma'anya. The strange thing about Holach Ma'anya is that the apex of Holach Ma'anya is called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. We're inviting the poor, those who are in need of a Suda, to join us. And the question is, why don't we find that with regard to other holidays? We don't find on Sukkot that we have to invite the guests in. We don't find on Shavuos we make a declaration called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, only with regard to Pesach. And perhaps the answer lies in the Rambam about Chayev Adam Laharos Es Atzmo Kiluhu Yotzo Mimitzrayim. What does it mean, Laharos? Rambam said, what's the Rambam's Chiddush? We, in our text in the Mishnah, it says Liros Es Atzmo. The Rambam says Laharos Es Atzmo. What does Laharos mean?
Demonstrate.
To demonstrate, exactly. It's not enough that we think and we feel that we left Mitzrayim. We have to demonstrate it. And the question is how to do so. And the answer is, because kol ma shekona eved, kona rabo. An eved has no private ownership. Only with cherus, when he's freed from his status as an eved, only then does he own his own possessions, have control of them. So what is the first thing he does when he declares, I am now a ben chorin, I own my own possessions? He does the mitzvah of chesed. He's gomel chesed, he invites others to join him on the Leil HaSeder. This is part of the kiyum of Chayav Adam Laharos Es Atzmo. In fact, you know the Gaon is very famous for saying, the Vilna Gaon, that Mos Chitin, you know, when we collect for the poor in order to share our matzahs with them, so they too can buy matzahs, is critical in our fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. He darshens it from the pasuk Lo Yeach Matzos Yeochel. Yeochel doesn't mean Yochal, you eat the matzah. Yeochel means see to it that Yenam, that somebody else eats the matzah. And therefore we have to raise funds to see to it that everyone can get the matzah that they need. And if you don't do so, and if you're able and capable of contributing and you don't contribute, then you're not yotzi your own personal chiyuv, says the Gaon, of Ba'erev Matzos Yeochel. And if that be the case, Rabbi will say, chesed and staka is critical to the night of Pesach. And therefore, if I know someone who doesn't have a seder, maybe he won't eat matzah, it's incumbent upon me to invite him to my seder, see to it that he eats matzah, and then and only then can I fulfill my personal obligation to eat matzah. And then, of course, we say, kol ditrich, yese v'yifsach. We invite others to join us in the Karban Pesach. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, we had what's called a minui. We had Allah of Chabura. We have to invite others to join in our Chabura. The Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, V'lokachu u'shcheino hakarav al beiso. And the Rambam says that even though you don't have to, it's not absolutely indispensable to invite someone else to join you in the Karban Pesach. You can do it alone, but nevertheless, that's not the mitzvah. The Ikra mitzvah, he says, Yochid sheshachar asa Pesach liatzmo kosher. But mishtadlim shlo yishchot lechatchila al hayochid shenemar yasu also. The Torah lechatchila wants us to join in a chabura, and therefore we invite others to join in our chabura. Some of the mafarshim say that this was written at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We're only incorporating it into our seder as a zecher lemikdash. And then the pasuk says, v'amarto lebanecha avodim ayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro b'Mitzrayim. Take a look at that phrase. Avodim ayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim. When it comes to the Avdei Paro, they're called Avdei Paro. But you will not find that phrase, Avdei Paro, with regard to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are Avodim leparo. Paro's slaves and his servants are Avdei Paro. It means that even when we were enslaved by the Egyptians, we never became Avdei Paro. Avdei Paro is a definition, it's identity. We were never identified existentially, essentially, as Avdei Paro. We were Avodim, and that's a legal term, to Paro. But we were never, never Avdei Paro. And that's what we find, that Klal Yisrael were always waiting for the Geula. Even though at certain points they despaired, and Chazal say in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ein ben David ba, there's something called Yeush. We reach the point in which we see no light at the end of the tunnel. We despair. That's exactly when the Geula is going to take place. And all this is inherent in the original Geula Mitzrayim. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Vayanchu mitoch avodah kasha. Anocha means I've given up hope. It's a krechts. When I say it looks pretty dismal, and I'm at the verge, I'm on the saf of Yeush, that's when the Geula is going to take place. And therefore, we say in Chazal, the Shmos Rab, which is towards the end of your page, Molamed Shahoyu Biyoda Megillos. Klal Yisrael actually had scrolls that were passed down in tradition for over 2 centuries. Shahoyu Mishtashim Bahem Mishabbos LeShabbos, when they had a little time off. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be Poel. Chazal tell us that they would get some time off on Shabbos. Lomar and these Megillos strengthen them to give them belief. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Goalon. And through that experience of reading these Megillos on Shabbos, Klal Yisrael were inspired to believe that there is light, there is hope. And therefore, we say in the Haggadah that the reason Klal Yisrael were chosen as the special nation, the reason why we were zochet to Geula, is because we always had a vision that there would be a Geula. And this is a message for us today, even though it looks kind of like, you know, our enemies are getting stronger and stronger, and the pressures that are being put on us are getting more powerful, and we have Iran to worry about, and all these things, but never to give up hope. There's always hope, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. If you have the second page that I gave you, I would like to talk to you a little bit about the Manishtana.
Is this a separate union?
Yeah. The Manishtana begins with a question about Matbili. And if you look in the Mefarshim, I have here, for example, a photocopy of the Torah Chaim, which is Moshe Rav Kook HaGadol. And he quotes various mefarshim. Some say that matbila means it's unusual for us to take a vegetable and dip it. Other mefarshim say that's not so unusual, so that can't be the kavana here. But the fact that we work so hard to make sure that we have the two yerukos, one yerek before we eat the matzah and another yerek we eat for maror, that tircha itself is indicative of the fact that something unusual is going on. And then we have the shita of the Ravan. He's of the opinion that we don't find during the rest of the year tibul becharoses. It's a big chiddush here that even karpas should be dipped in charoses. That's also the Rambam shita. Others say that karpas should be dipped in mei melach, in salt water. And those are the different shitas in matbil. But I gave you a page here from one of my favorite haggadahs. It's called Haggadah Shleima from Menachem Kasher. And he has a new take on Shtei Pa'amim, on Matbilin, based on the Machzor Vitri. And you'll see it where I circled footnote number 81 on towards the bottom left of the Pirushim column. And he says the following. Ein onu Matbilin afilu pam achas al yidei bracha. In other words, when we take a yerek the whole year round, and we dip it into whatever we dip it into, we do not make a bracha of borei pri adam on that yerek if it's part and parcel of what? Of a seuda. Because we made amotzi lechem in arutz on pas. Mm-hmm. There's no need to make a separate bracha on a yerek. Halayla zeh shtei pa'amim. Tonight, we're going to make the bracha borei pri adam not once, but twice. Once on the first tibul, and second, on the maror that we eat afterwards. This is a tremendous chiddush, this vitri. I never heard anyone make a borei pri adama on maror. In fact, if you look in the Haggadahs, you know, the instructions that are written in small print, it says that when you make the borei pri adama on the karpas, you should have in mind what?
The
maror. You should patot the maror. But according to Machzor Vitri, okay, so look, as far as the borei pri adama on karpas, I understand. That's not made in the Suda because we haven't yet eaten what? The matzah. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that if I'm going to eat a yerek and I have no pas, wow, and I've never made a mochi, it's not part of a Suda, I have to make a bracha. But why do we make a second bracha, borei pri adama, on maror, the second yerek, the second tibul? And not only that, that's gufa, that's exactly the essence of the question that's being asked here in the first question of the four shelos of the Manish Tana. Again, you could ask a general question. How does he know that we're going to be Tovil Shtei Pa'amim? After all, the Manish Tana comes very early in the Seder. And that I heard from my Rebbe many times, that people misunderstand the Manish Tana. The Manish Tana is a standardized form, but the truth is that the children should be encouraged to ask their questions, whatever their questions are. And they would never ask these questions because they can't anticipate what's coming around the bend. But we have a standard formula in which we determine and we formulate what are the special, unique aspects of this night. And whatever is special about this night, we have to incorporate into the Manish Tana. So we can already anticipate the Shnei Matbilin. Says the Machzor Vitri, it's not the Shnei Matbilin that makes this night unique. Any night of the year, we could be Tovel Yerukos, and indeed that was the minig at that time. And not only that, you could be Tovel Yerukos and make an extra effort to get those Yerukos and get the Tibul. And even Charoses apparently is not enough to stimulate our curiosity and determine that the night is so unique. But the fact that we make a Borei Pri Adama, not only on the first Tibul, which precedes the Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, but even on the second Tibul, which is inside the Seuda, what justifies that bracha of Borei Pri Adama? And the truth of the matter is, Rabosai, I don't know the answer to that question. You've got me stumped. So tell me, Machzor Vitri, why is it that we make a bracha on the second tibul, namely the tibul of Maror? I've just finished eating my matz, I made a hamotzi lechem min haaretz. I've kicked off my seuda. Mm-hmm. I'm now eating the maror, you know, as part of the seuda. Why shouldn't the Birchas HaPas Poteres principle operate with regard to the Borei Pri Adama?
Isn't the Klal things that are not eaten with pas?
Right, like not a common... like uncommon things that you eat.
It's like the
marshmallow and the honey.
Just like the toppings of the bread.
So it has to be something that would have some relation to pot. Who would eat maror as part of the Suda. But other than that,
just put everything in that
but way. Even Rabosai would say Hillel is talking about a Maisa Mitzvah. You know, he's trying to duplicate what we did at the time of the Migdash. I don't know if the Maisa Mitzvah makes it part of the Seuda. Mm. So it comes out according to the Maaseh Vitri that what we want to point out that's unique about this night is that the Tivul of the second Yerek, which is the Marar, which takes place after we've already made the Hamotzim and Haaretz, is not part of the Seuda. You should know that the Tivul b'Charoses, if that's your minig or whatever your minig is, you're going to eat the Marar. It's not part and parcel of the Seuda. It's something very, very unique. If you have the page that I gave you, take a look on the right side of your page, and we're looking specifically at number 60, footnote number 60, to explain the Manish Tana in the name of the Zevach Pesach. Who authored the Sefer Zevach Pesach? Anybody know? No. It's 5 centuries ago and more. It was the Abarbanel. It's, you know, for those who are interested in the history of Hebrew publishing, Zevach Pesach is a very special book. I mean, if you know anyone who owns one, he's very wealthy, I can tell you that. Because Zevach Pesach was one of the first Hebrew books to be published right after Gerush Sfarad, at the very end of the 1490s. It was published in the early 1500s by the Abarbanel. You know, the Abarbanel was one of those who left with 75,000 Jews when they expelled us. If he were alive today, he'd probably get citizenship, you know, in Spain or whatever. Anyway, so the Abarbanel says the following. What is the Manish Tana all about? He says, what stimulates our curiosity about the unique nature of this night of Pesach is the following. Balayla hazeh anu osim inyonim hamorim al heyosenu b'nei chorin. The paradox of this night is that we achieve Dover v'hipucho, A and not A at the same time. On the one hand, we do many things to demonstrate the Avdus, and at the same time, we do many things to demonstrate the Chayrus. Well, what examples can you think of?
Kusot yain. Wine is...
Wine is definitely cheirus.
Haseba.
Haseba is cheirus. But what's zechel yavdus?
Maror.
We'll get to matzah in just a minute. Okay, excellent. Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. But what about tibul b'mei melach? I don't know how many of you have that minute. The minute is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that we should dip our yerek into salt water. And the salt water is meant to remind us of the avdus. Not only that, charosis itself, according to many mafarshim, is zechel etid. They used to make the mortar and the cement and they used to build. That's also zechel avdus. And Jonathan points out very beautifully that matzah has a double symbolism, because Chazal tell us that when we were servants, when we were slaves in Mitzrayim, our slave, our taskmasters, gave us matzah to eat. Because matzah is very cheap, but it fills up the belly, and we'll all experience this in just about 2 weeks' time, you know. It makes you full for a long time to come, and whatever, we won't go into the graphic details. But that's what they gave to the Avodin. But at the same time, the matzah, no doubt, serves the function of Zecher L'Cheres, because what did we take? Our forefathers, our ancestors, what did we take when we left Mitzrayim? B'chipazon. We took matzah. We didn't have time to wait till the dough would rise and make leavened bread. We ate matzah. So according to the Zevach Pesach, the essence of the Manish Tana is this sort of bifurcation, or this very paradoxical combination of Dover v'Pucho, that on this night we're going to re-experience Avdus, and yet at the same time the emphasis is on Cherus. And that, my friends, is really the essence of Maschil Bignus U'Mesayim B'Shvach, which is the Kishkes of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maschil Bignus Mitchila Avodim Hayinu B'Mitzrayim U'Mesayim B'Gnas V'Achshav Otzionu Hashem Elokeinu B'Mitzrayim. In other words, we have to first re-experience Avdus in order to appreciate Cheirus. It's only when you feel the negative, in this case the slavery, the Shibud and the Avdus, that's when you can appreciate the Geula and the Cheirus. And those two, so to speak, mutually exclusive symbols really reflect the essence and the fiber of what this night is all about. The fabric of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim is Dafka the paradox. And maybe Rabosai, that's true for all of Jewish history. The zigzag of Jewish history. We go up, we go down. Klal Yisrael at one moment is feeling the oppression and the hatred of the Goyim, the Golus experience, the Avdus experience. But then Hashem raises us up and we still somehow exist. And that's the essence of the night of Pesach. To appreciate that, yes, we go through Golus and it's very difficult, but yes, at the same time, Hashem loves us, He's Makariv us, He brings us to the state of Geula. Those two paradoxically form the essence of the Leila Seder. It's reflected here in the Madrash Tanya. I want to just conclude. I know that you have to go over. Any questions until now? I want to conclude with one idea that I think ties us into to Leila Pesach. You know, we're reading now, especially yesterday and next Shabbos as well, to some extent, the parshios of Negoim. Negoim are inflictions that are metaphysical, according to the Ramban. They come from Shamayim. And they're meant to convey a message to the person who's inflicted with those Negoim. And Rashi has different variations of what the message is, whether it's that he violated Lashon Hara, or he was guilty of something called Tzaras Ayin. And all these sins are Bein Adam L'Chaveru. We somehow fail to live up to the standards and the demands of Hashem with regard to interpersonal relations. And as a result, Hashem gives us a very strong message. The Parsha and the experience of Negoim, whether it's Negei Aguf, whether it's Negei Begadim, Negei Batim, the Sfarno says that if he didn't get the message on the first round when he was struck with leprosy on his body, then maybe he'll finally get the message when his Begadim are struck with, inflicted with Negoim, and if not that, Negei Batim. And who's in charge of determining the Tuma or the Tara state of the Menuge? It's only whom?
The Kohen.
It's got to be the Kohen, right? And why the Kohen? Says the Sfarno, Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das, the purpose of Kahuna is to give us Musar, to give us Ashkafa, to give us guidance, to sometimes be critical, but only mitoch Ava. The Kohenim represent the Midah of Chesed and Ava, but at the same time, the Midah of disciplining us, making sure that we're going the right way. It's again this paradox that sometimes you need the negative and you need the positive, and somehow they integrate to form one indivisible entity. And the Menuga has to understand that the message Hashem is giving him is that even though you're suffering now, it's very difficult to be Tomei, because, for example, in the case of Tumas Tzaras, Bodad Yeshiv Mechutz L'machna, he's completely quarantined and left outside the society. Very difficult. But you should know that living, that inherent in that suffering, inherent in the Machla, in the Nega, in the Tzaras, is a message that you can transform yourself, inspire yourself, do the right tshuva, and be mitire yourself. And that very nega will become, instead of a klola, a bracha. So things which we see as very difficult in our lives, we have to understand that inherently there's a bracha, that very klola can be uplifted to the state of bracha. Yiratzon be his will, and we'll all be zochet to feel this and experience this, and we'll see the gula shleima v'heir v'meinu.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you so much.
They're about to step up.
Huh? I have another.